Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tonight, for this special program on Gomata, Mother Cow. In the Vedas, there are seven mothers. Your real mother, the one that gave you birth, Mother Earth. There's the wife of a Brahmana, a king, a guru, a nurse. And then there is Mother Cow. And I have discovered an eighth mother, Mother Vedas. So, as we see here on the altar, Gomata is here. And as nicely and accurately described, all the devatas, all the demigods, are symbolized in the body of the cow. So in America, they make fun. They have an expression, holy cow. They make fun. But actually, it is most accurate, mother cow, holy cow. We don't take it as a joke. We take it literally. And even Srila Prabhupada, in his first canto, Bhagavatam, says that milk, which comes from the cow, is called liquid religion. How is that? When you eat meat, especially cow's flesh, you destroy the finer brain tissues which would normally allow you to understand transcendence. And conversely, when you drink cow's milk, it nourishes those finer brain tissues so that you're able to understand transcendence. That's why the first regulative principle, nonviolence, especially not to kill cow. For our Bhagavatam recital today, as chosen by our GBC here, Kamlesh Maharaj, he has selected the chapter which concludes Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. Indra stopped his father from performing the yearly sacrifice to Indra. Krishna intentionally wanted to make Indra mad. Why? Indra had become puffed up, and Krishna, being the super soul, was well aware of Indra's pride. So he wanted to curb Indra's pride. He convinced his father by preaching an atheistic philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa is basically how modern world works. Nowadays, modern society all over the world, whether you're religious or not religious, doesn't matter. Get the job done. You may be the biggest atheist, you may be the biggest rascal, but if you can bring in the bucks, you're good. That's modern society. We don't care who you are or what you are. Can you get the job done? They don't consider God or this or that. They only consider that unless man performs his prescribed duties, he cannot get any good results. So whether there's a God or not a God doesn't matter. Do your prescribed duties, that's all. So with this atheistic philosophy, but more importantly, only because Nanda Maharaj had so much affection for Krishna, even though Nanda gave counter arguments, eventually Nanda gave in, and instead of worshiping Indra, they worshiped Govardhan Hill, the Brahmins, and cow. And that's exactly what Krishna said. Instead of worshiping Indra, we should worship Govardhan Hill, because it is Govardhan Hill who is maintaining us. We should worship the Brahmins and cow. And there is a mantra that is chanted. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayacha. Krishna's first preference is to protect the cows, then the Brahmins. Because without cows, you cannot have Brahminical culture. Cow is necessary for Brahminical culture. Maybe that would be better on this side. There's more room on this side. Careful with the branches. Good. So Indra became outraged that the residents of Vrindavan had dishonored him, neglected him, and Indra spoke to his clouds of devastation, Sangvartaka, go to Vrindavan and decimate it. And the clouds were a little hesitant. It appears that they understood something about Krishna. So they were a little hesitant, and Indra said, no, I will also come on my elephant, and I will send down lightning bolts. So for 7 days, 7 nights, big, heavy rain, very raindrops, very large, and there was hail and unseasonal cold winds for 7 days. And the residents of Vrindavan, they only know one shelter. Whenever there's any danger, the residents of Vrindavan know only one thing. Let us go to Krishna. At this time, Krishna is only 7 years old. But because this is Vrindavan, they don't know any other shelter other than Krishna. And Krishna said, yes, I will protect you. So he lifted the Govardhan Hill, holding it in his left hand with his pinky. And Govardhan Hill became an umbrella. And Krishna said, come underneath this umbrella. Don't fear that it will fall from my hand. For 7 days, Krishna held Govardhan Hill. Only one moment that was there a little shake, because Krishna glanced at Radharani and he became a little distracted. That was the only time. Shows you how powerful is Srimati Radharani. So Indra, after seeing this display of Krishna, came to his senses and realized, I have misunderstood. I was not thinking clearly. So Indra came down along with a Surabhi cow, and that's where we pick up. So if you're ready to proceed, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So there's three parts to this chapter. This first part, Indra begs forgiveness. Shukadeva Goswami continued. Of course, Shukadeva is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, Asurabi cow from Goloka Vrindavan, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets, appeared before him. Indra, the king of heaven, was conscious of his offense before Krishna. Therefore, he stealthily appeared before Krishna in a secluded place. Now, Prabhupada uses that word stealthily, meaning Indra was doing it very carefully. He didn't want to be detected by anyone. Stealth, like they have these stealth bombers, the American government, that you don't see it coming, and then before you know, boom. So Indra did not want to be detected, so he moved very carefully. And he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna. Lotus feet, two meanings. Different parts of Krishna's body as compared to the lotus: eyes, face, hands, feet, navel. That's one. The other meaning, that even though Krishna comes to this material world, he never actually touches. He's never contaminated. Even if it appears that he's doing something immoral, still, Krishna is like the sun. The sun can come in contact with any impure reservoir of water, purify it, and the sun remains clean, not tainted. So even Krishna may sometimes violate the Vedic rules. There's no sin. Krishna cannot commit sin, because he is above the jurisdiction of the material laws. Therefore, lotus, like the lotus, does not actually touch the water. It's above. So Krishna is also above this material world. That's an important point. Otherwise, one's understanding of Krishna will be faulty. So that's a fundamental issue. One has to understand that Krishna never becomes contaminated under any circumstance. Although Indra's own crown was dazzling like sunshine, he fell at Krishna's lotus feet. Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna because Krishna is the master of Indra. But he could not believe that Krishna could come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherder men. When Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because Indra thought that he was all in all within this universe and that no one was as powerful as he. So there is the root of all problems. As we say here in America, pride comes before the fall. Pride is the original sin. So, as I said at the beginning, Krishna purposely wanted to agitate Indra because he knew Indra was thinking like this. But after this incident of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, Indra's false puffed up prestige was destroyed. Being conscious of his subordinate position, Indra appeared before Krishna with folded hands and began to offer the following prayers. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many, many prayers. I have done a research and have taken all the different sections of prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. If someone is interested, how should I pray? Pray the prayers that are found in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are perfect. You can even use these prayers of Indra, because now he's in proper consciousness. My dear Lord, being puffed up by my false prestige. I thought you had offended me by not allowing the cowherder men to perform my Indra Yajna, and I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now, by your grace, I can understand you are the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and you are transcendental to all material qualities. That's what I was saying just a few minutes ago. Indra just confirms. You are transcendental to all material qualities. That is the meaning of Nirguna. Not the other meaning. Some people think Nirguna means Krishna has no qualities. No. This is the meaning of Nirguna. He is transcendental to all material qualities. Doesn't mean he doesn't have qualities. He has transcendental qualities, which Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami have outlined 64 specific qualities of Krishna, four of which are not even held by Narayan. Krishna himself has four special ones. Otherwise, how he can be supreme? Supreme means he has to have something nobody else has. Your transcendental position is Vishuddha Sattva, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness. And your transcendental mode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature. So not just Krishna. Anything having to do with Krishna is also Nirguna, above the material modes, above the material qualities. That is why we chant. If Krishna's name was a material sound vibration, then we're wasting our time. But because Krishna's name is transcendental, that is why we chant. What do we chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. If Krishna's words were not transcendental, why should we study Bhagavad Gita? We could study any book. But why do we study? Why do we worship Bhagavad Gita? Because it is transcendental, spoken by Krishna. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe austerities and penances and becomes completely freed from the onslaught of material qualities like passion and ignorance. If someone thinks that when you hear, again, the point that I was making earlier, thank you, Indra. Indra is proving my point. If someone thinks that when you come within this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he or she is mistaken. This is Indra. The waves of the material qualities are unable to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this earth. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. My dear Lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. Same thing Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita. He says that. I am the father. Aham Bijapada Pita. You are the supreme spiritual master of this cosmic world. And you are the original proprietor of everything. Boktarang Yagyatapasam Sarava Loka Maheshwaram. As I have been saying a lot over the past few months, once you learn Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, you'll see that it is the basis of so many things you read in Bhagavatam. You learn Bhagavad Gita as well as you know your cell phone number. Then you will be able to understand any transcendental literature because it is the basis. It is Gita Upanishad. It is the essence of all the Vedas, as Prabhupada writes in his introduction. We don't have all the time to read four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Vedanta Sutra. You got time for that? So therefore, Prabhupada says, just learn one book, Bhagavad Gita, because it is the essence of all the Vedas. Very nice. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. Arjuna asks the universal form, who are you? What is your mission? What did the universal form say? Time, I am. And what is my business? Destroy. Krishna says more than once, I am time. Within this material world, there are many fools like myself who consider themselves to be the Supreme Lord or the all in all within the universe. But you are so merciful that without accepting their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued and they can know that you and no one else is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Krishna himself says, Matak parataram nanyat. Nobody's equal to or superior to me. I am the Supreme. Aham sarvasya prabhava. Matak sarvam parvartate. Everything comes from me. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Father, the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme King. Therefore, you have the right to chastise all living entities whenever there is any discrepancy in their behavior. The Father, Spiritual Master, the Supreme Executive Officer of the state are always well-wishers of their sons, students, and citizens respectively. As such, these well-wishers have the right to chastise their dependents. And by your own desire, you appear auspiciously on this earth in your eternal variety of forms. You come to glorify the earthly planet and specifically to chastise persons who are falsely claiming to be God. Later on, when Krishna is in Dwaraka, there is that foolish king, Poundraka. Poundraka thought he was Vasudeva, so he got two extra fake arms. And he challenged Krishna. Krishna, I am the real Vasudeva. You are imposter. Give me back my Sudarshan Chakra. So Krishna said, sure, let's see if you can handle it. And of course, the Sudarshan Chakra came and cut off the head of this Poundraka, falsely claiming to be Vasudeva. Everybody say. In the material world, there is regular competition between different types of living entities to become supreme leaders of society. That's what's going to happen this year. Republicans, the Democrats, what are they doing? That's what they want. Because if you're president of the United States, huh? You're like big man. So they're all trying. I want to be. Let's see who will be. Trying to become supreme leaders of society, and after being frustrated in achieving supreme position of leadership, foolish people claim to be God. There are many such foolish personalities in this world like me. So this is a very good prayer. If Indra can say this, who am I compared to Indra? So I should also say yes. But in due course of time, when they come to their senses, they surrender unto you. What is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Surrender to Krishna. And again, engage themselves properly by rendering service unto you. And that is the purpose of your chastising people envious of you. My dear Lord, I committed a great offense unto your lotus feet, being falsely proud of my material opulences, not knowing your unlimited power. Therefore, my Lord, kindly excuse me, because I am fool number one. Excellent. This is how the disciple stands before his guru. The disciple doesn't go before his guru. Guru Dev, you know, I'm really great. Guru Dev, I'm like your best disciple, Guru Dev. No, this is how one should approach his guru. What to speak of God. Krishna, you know, come on, I'm ready to go back to Godhead. What's taking so long? No, that's not the mood. Here's the mood. I am fool number one. Kindly give me your blessings so that I may not act so foolishly again. If you think, my Lord, that the offense is very great and cannot be excused, then I appeal to you that I am your eternal servant. Actually, we're all Krishna's eternal servant. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Jivera, Swarupahai, Krishnara, Nityadas. Everyone. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. We are all Krishna's part and parcel. The function of the part is to serve the whole. Krishna is the whole. We are the parts and parcels. You appear in this world to give protection to your eternal servants and to destroy the demons who maintain great military strength just to burden the very existence of the earth. That was the original reason why Krishna agreed to appear. Mother Earth went to Lord Brahma in the form of a cow, and she was crying, and she explained to Brahma, I'm overburdened because Kamsa has created an alliance of evil, an axis of evil. And Kamsa and all of his demoniac allies were simply building up the military industrial complex at that time. Mother Earth felt overburdened, but Brahma could realize, I can't solve this. So they went to the shore of the ocean of milk. They sang the Purusha Sukta prayers. Brahma got his text message from Krishna in the heart. The message was, I'm coming. And I will paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam. I'll take care of everything. I'll clean up this mess. You demigods, expand yourselves. Take birth in the Yadu dynasty. Assist me. That's a demigod. Indra previous was not thinking himself Krishna's assistant. He was thinking Krishna's my competitor. He was not in right consciousness. Demigods and devotees, they see themselves as Krishna's assistant. That's proper consciousness. As I am your eternal servant, kindly excuse me. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Purushaya Mahatmane Vasudevaya Krishnaya Satvatang Pataye Namaha. Nice mantra. That's a mantra right there. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the Supreme Person and the Supreme Soul. You are the son of Vasudeva, and you are the Supreme Lord, Krishna, master of all pure devotees. Please accept my prostrated obeisances. You are the personification of supreme knowledge. You can appear anywhere according to your desire because he already is everywhere. Krishna is within everyone's heart, yes? This is why there was no fault of Krishna dancing with the gopis. Krishna is already everyone's husband. How? He's already in the heart. So in the case of the gopis, instead of staying in the heart, he came outside. He was already there. And the amazing thing, during the rasa dance, all the husbands of the gopis saw their wife sleeping with them right next to them. They didn't know anything. The gopis were dancing with Krishna in their spiritual forms. So instead of Krishna being in the heart, he came out. No fault of Krishna. He's already. Does he not say in Bhagavad Gita, I am the father, I am the mother, I am the witness, I am the well-wisher. You can appear anywhere according to your desire in any one of your eternal forms. You are the root of all creation and the supreme soul of all living entities. Due to my gross ignorance, I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by sending torrents of rain and a heavy hailstorm. I acted out of severe anger caused by your stopping the sacrifice, which was to be held to satisfy me. But my dear Lord, you are so kind to me that you bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the supreme controller, but you are also the spiritual master of all living entities. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.